Hebrews 12, verse 28. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Why?
Because they are the words of God.
Yes. It's an amazing truth that should never cease to be amazing to us. That we have the words of God. Let us offer him our hearts as we hear them. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is the word of God. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and he's just been talking about the shaking as the removal of those things that would not remain, that only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And so he says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, which means, therefore, since we are receiving a perfect kingdom, therefore, since we are receiving an eternal kingdom. We spend all our week, don't we, in things that will be shaken. Sometimes if you guys are fighting over a piece of a toy or some other property that one of you has or that belongs to the family and you both want to use, I say, why are you guys fighting over that? Jesus is about to what? To burn it up, right? It's a thing that cannot be shaken. And we get ourselves all stressed out about temporary things. The Lord has assigned them for our use and serving him. The Lord has given us many blessings that we should not be ungrateful for. And yet, many of these things are merely temporary. If you want to see the new creation, if you want to see something that will last forever, look at a Christian. That's what the scripture says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, so I look around this table. I see oranges that are going to be gone in a few days. Tomatoes that are going to be gone in a few days. I see some red hymnals that are the old liberal ones from the ARP from the 50s that hopefully, well, new ones coming this week. They're going to be gone in a few days. See some blue Psalters that, you know, hopefully last a little bit longer than that. See some kids that I hope will last another 50, 60, 80 years maybe. Who knows what God may do in his providence. I see some Bibles that I hope are going to last a couple hundred years and be used by my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and be precious for the work that the Lord did in their ancestors' lives through those Bibles. But I see some kids whose eternal souls are forever and ever, and whose bodies, even after they have been eaten by worms in the grave, will be gathered again together by the Lord and transformed in resurrection bodies. I see, if we can put it that way, in verse 28, kids which will not be shaken. Lord, giving us grace. There are people who will be shaken. Oh, their soul is forever, and their bodies will be resurrected, but they'll be resurrected for destruction, cast into the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. They will not be part of the new heavens and the new earth. Pray by God's mercy to each one of you. You will be part of the new heavens and the new earth. And every week when we go to worship, the Lord directs our attention to glory. In that worship service in heaven that we participate in the Lord's Day assemblies. And he directs our attention forward in history to glory in the new heavens and the new earth. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's our one visit a week that we get. That's our one opportunity in this life to visit the unshakable kingdom that we will one day receive in fullness But right now we have these Lord's Day samplings. It's kind of like when you go to the grocery store and they've got the new product and they got the little cart with like the display above it, and they're giving everyone a sample of the new product, trying to get everyone interested, direct their attention away from all the things on their list that they came to grab off the shelf and buy and leave. They say, no, don't direct your attention to the things on the list. Direct your attention to this thing of which we are giving you a sample. And we, our hearts focus, are so difficult to focus on the eternal and the lasting and the infinitely valuable, that the Lord gives us one day in seven, and he brings us to the worship services on the Lord's Day. And he says, no. Focus on this infinitely better eternal thing, of which I here give you a sample. Now, if we're to be focusing on that which is eternal and best, then when we come to the Lord's Day worship services, it should be something very, very different than the rest of our lives, shouldn't it? And so we gather, and God displays himself and his glory to our faith in the Lord's Day services. In fact, he displays himself often as a consuming fire, which we'll hear about again Saturday. We heard about in the sermon yesterday. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, since God has designed this worship service on the Lord's days for us to gather and visit and sample the unshakable kingdom, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Remember what that means? It means to worship God in only the way that he has commanded, not to come up with our own ways of worshiping him. Let us have grace by which we may serve God with reverence. That means with outward dignity, in outward style that acknowledges the immense weightiness of coming before God and his infinite weightiness in himself. So we dress up, we wear the best that we have, and we gather. And we gather with a very serious, not sad, those aren't the same thing, but certainly the opposite of silly, the opposite of light. We gather with a serious demeanor, and we're very careful to behave in a way that shows outward respect, that anybody who didn't even know what we were doing, if all they could see was us, they would know, whoa, that person is in the presence of something grand and great and otherworldly and of tremendous nobility and importance and dignity. For some reason in my mind, I think of like a British soldier and all the different small manners that they learn in order to properly function around the Queen. And all, in every movement and everything they do, you can tell that they know themselves to be in the presence of greatness and of a superior. And our outward action, our outward style, demeanor, should communicate that in worship. Let us have grace that we would worship God acceptably. Let us have grace that we would worship God with reverence. Let us have grace that we should worship God with godly fear. That it's not just an outward demeanor, isn't it? We can get caught up, sadly, in doing things on the outside and fail to do so in our hearts. But the Lord's Day and the Lord's Day services are a great opportunity at the start of every week to impact our hearts, to affect our hearts with the greatness of who God is, so that as we love him, as we serve him, as we obey him, and everything else throughout the week, we will do so with that fresh influence, that fresh impact of having considered the great glory of our God, who has saved us for himself, saved us from our perishing under the fire of his wrath, saved us from our guilt of having sinned against his holiness, and now saved us for serving him. You can imagine one of the kings. The Lord bless you, my dear. You can imagine our soldier from the other illustration. He ends up with a bunch of street children, and he is he's going to take care of one. And the kids, the difference between the kid's manner, you know, even if the kid is grateful or whatever, he just doesn't know how to act, and he's kind of rude or whatever. But that's the queen's soldier. And he's not left unaffected by all of his training and his time around the queen, and the fact that even when he departs the presence of the queen, he still belongs to the queen. And so he treats with love and respect even this, you know, street child that he's taken under his wing and is being good to. Something similar. We have come near God and worshipped him by grace acceptably, worshipped him by grace with reverence, worshipped him by grace with awe in our hearts, amazement at who he is. And then we go and we do our school, and we do our school as the great king's servant. We do the dishes or the laundry or whatever else it is that the Lord has given us to do, and we do it as the great king's servant. And now we do it with love and respect for others, and keeping all of the great king's law and reflecting well on our God and Savior who has redeemed us for himself. Of course, to worship in the way that we ought to worship that would produce a life like that, we need what? Let us have grace. And in this book of Hebrews, we have already had a instruction on where to get grace. Where do we go to get grace and mercy to help us in the time of need? Let us draw near to the throne of grace. What does that mean? Is there like a big chair somewhere in the Saudi Arabian desert? No. Well, there is like a black rock in a box. It's not like Islam isn't, is it? We don't make a pilgrimage to an object somewhere in the desert across the world. The throne of grace is in glory, isn't it? Isn't that what God's throne is called in the book of Hebrews, where Jesus has now sat down and our Redeemer is there? And so for us, yes, it's a throne of judgment, but with our Savior sitting on it, it's also a throne of grace. And so if this says, let us have grace in order to worship God this way, in order to respond rightly to this sampling of our unshakable kingdom, then we know that one of the big things that verse 28 is saying to us is not just let's run in there and do it every Lord's Day, but we will try. But let us look to God for his help, and let us especially ask him for that help in prayer. And let's do so now. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that you would give us grace. Grace to know you and ourselves, and to remember your salvation, and to live out of wonder at you as an act of worship unto you, to live in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have designed the Lord's Day services in your congregation to condition our hearts and minds by this acceptable worship and reverent worship and awed worship. And so we pray for your help at those times particular, that your Spirit would attend and help us. We gather in the church services on the Lord's Day, and to worship well, to worship according to your word. Please help our elders to make such decisions about worship that it will be clear that we are there only to do what you have commanded. And please help us, in particular in our congregation as a whole, to worship you in that outward manner that responds well to the tremendous dignity of the worship service. And we pray that you would give us grace in the heart, that we would be rightly amazed at who you are, and that the closer we draw near to you, the more we would honor you and be amazed at you, and truly fear you with that godly fear. We ask that you do all these things for us, and we do so in Jesus' name, through whom we may draw near, and who sits upon your throne, because he is your everlasting Son. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.